broadcasting live from the Orlando Orange County Convention Center for HIMSS 17. It's This Just In. Now, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Bob Crutchfield, general partner at Harbert Growth Partners. Thank you and welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks.
This is terrific. So how many HIMSS have you been to?
So this would be my ninth HIMSS, so quite a few.
Excellent. Yeah, this is actually my 17th HIMSS.
But, oh, my gosh. So I'm like a rookie.
Well, right. Well, no, it's... I just couldn't believe it. When I first started coming, I think it was in a couple of thousand, maybe 3,000 or 4,000, but now we've crossed over 44,000, I think, and growing. So pretty phenomenal. So what are your goals for attending HIMSS?
So I always have three goals. One, it's become just a really great networking event. So mm-hmm. I get to see the whole landscape of the healthcare IT ecosystem. So that's good. The second thing I'm looking for trends as they're developing. You know, we've last few years the conversations have been population health, patient engagement, and you know today I think we're seeing the continued expansion of the point of care beyond traditional care delivery sites, and so there's a lot of fragmentation that still exists in the market around home health, behavioral health, assisted living, others. So looking for how does you know those extended care points.
Sure.
Become integrated into a broader, comprehensive care delivery environment.
No, that's excellent. If you heard John earlier, right before this, he was talking about how you know they're looking a year out even into patients' homes, trying to keep them out of the ER, and they're really looking out to really because they're you know they got $1.5 billion at risk in their contract, so they're looking you know proactively. So you're in a very strong market there. So what innovations are you seeing out there or do you expect to see at HIMSS or maybe the next year or so in the industry?
Yes, so I do think that per the comments you were just making and what John said earlier, that care models today are going to be beyond the traditional fee-for-service environment, even though we're still straddling fee-for-service and value-based care.
Right.
I think particularly the models as they relate to CMS and Medicare, Medicaid, you're going to see more value-based being driven there. And that's going to mean continuing to try to come up with solutions that touch patients in multiple points of care, multiple sites, but the home, the workplace,
yes.
Those are going to become actual points of care. So the data collected around using insulin, for example, at your workplace, that if you can actually take that data, transmit it to your ambulatory provider, it becomes part of a cohesive longitudinal record of care, that becomes, you know, that really is a care site for you. So I think that's going to continue to happen. I think we're going to continue to see patients managed through various phases of their lives. I think chronic care will be an extension to palliative care, which will be an extension to hospice.
Very true.
But
yeah.
All of that is going to be part of a longitudinal approach rather than in the past where it was looked at as sort of isolated stages of a patient's sort of, you know, evolution of life.
And I completely agree. So looking out, it would be your crystal ball. You've been doing this a long time and know healthcare very well. And you've already touched on this, but what do you see as innovations that healthcare needs, where an entrepreneur could focus on, and really have some strong opportunity out there?
Yeah, so where the market is today, I think value-based care, if you really think about it, and think about bundled payments within the acute setting, let's just narrow it to the acute setting. What that really means is that we have to narrow the variation of care so that high-volume procedures are performed predictably, repeatably, at scale. And so in order for that to happen, it's much easier to put a bundled payment together than it is to put universal workflows across a hospital system in place that would allow for that bundled payment to create profit for the system, right? Because that requires physician adoption, consumer adoption, and system adoption, right? And so I think we're looking for tools that are going to be able to help with the creation of those workflows, will allow those workflows to have the range that is required for delivering individual care, but narrow that range of variation so that it's still repeatable, predictable, and scalable.
No, that's excellent. So talking a little bit about where you guys focus as a fund, and just your personal strategy for healthcare. What do you guys focus on? What do you like out there?
So our general thesis is around healthcare IT, technology-enabled services, and a very few select medical devices. Today, you know, we're in a company down here in the Central Florida region in Tampa, a company called CareSync.
Yes.
Very excited about what Travis Bond, our CEO, is doing there.
And I know Travis from back in the EHR days.
He's a great guy. Yeah. Big vision, you know, big idea guy. And so we're developing that predictable, repeatable model for chronic care. You know, the original 99490 code that came out a couple of years ago, that was nothing more than a bundled payment for managing chronic patients to steer, navigate, and manage those patients at home and basically help them get the right care, right time, right venue, right price, right provider. And so Travis has done a really good job of beginning to scale that business and turning it into that predictable and repeatable model. I think we're looking for technology-enabled services today probably as our primary focus in the market because as the point of care extends, you have to have intermediaries out there that can be connected in a cohesive way to the providers.
Yep. Now, one of my investments now is a technology-enabled service, kind of on the revenue cycle side, but then also moving into where MIPS and PQRS are just helping those care providers really getting in there. Because it's not just about having technology or innovation even. They need help learning, using, and knowing how this innovation integrates with their workflow and then what CMS is doing or the payers are doing. There's so much complexity there. And you just can't say, well, here's a great product or EHR or technology or platform or whatever. They still don't know where to start and how to manage those new models. They know the traditional models, they just don't know how any of these new models, so I completely agree.
And the additional challenge to that is even if you have developed a predictable, repeatable strategy, right, in order to extract the data so that you can maximize your payments in a MIPS macro environment, that's another level of complexity and challenge, right? So I think it's an interesting transition that we're going through right now in healthcare, but I do think in 5 years we're going to look back at this time and say, you know, we are in a market now and in an industry now that is behaving like an operating business because that's really what we are.
Right. Nope. Very good point. Bob, great to have you on air. I truly appreciate you joining the show for the first time, and I'm sure we'll have you back, my friend.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate the invite.
Thank you very much. Bob Crutchfield.